From NPR News, this is special coverage. President Bush addresses the nation. The president's subject this evening is security, what's now called Homeland Security. After the attacks of September 11th, the president created a White House Office of Homeland Security, and now President Bush is expected to propose a new cabinet-level agency for Homeland Security. It would pull together offices from several existing cabinet departments and bring them under one roof. The FBI and the CIA, the subjects of so much recent scrutiny, would remain discrete agencies, but Customs, the Immigration and Naturalization Service, the Coast Guard, many other agencies would be brought under this new Department of Homeland Security. I'm Robert Siegel, and joining me in the studio this evening in Washington is NPR News analyst Daniel Schorr. Dan, the White House is billing this as the biggest federal reorganization since 1947.
This is a quite singular event. You must remember that only last week, Tom Ridge, in charge of Homeland Security, said he needed no more power. So now he's getting more power. Only last week, the FBI announced a gigantic reorganization of the FBI with apparently no knowledge that the reorganization was going to proceed further today.
So as to why this reorganization is taking place now, we expect to hear from President Bush, who will be addressing us from the White House in just a couple of seconds.
I took the executive.
Good evening. During the next few minutes, I want to update you on the progress we are making in our war against terror and to propose sweeping changes that will strengthen our homeland against the ongoing threat of terrorist attacks. Nearly 9 months have passed since the day that forever changed our country. Debris from what was once the World Trade Center has been cleared away in 100,000 truckloads. The west side of the Pentagon looks almost as it did on September the 10th. And as children finish school and families prepare for summer vacations, for many, life seems almost normal. Yet we are a different nation today, sadder and stronger, less innocent and more courageous, more appreciative of life, and for many who serve our country, more willing to risk life in a great cause. For those who have lost family and friends, the pain will never go away, and neither will the responsibilities that day thrust upon all of us. America is leading the civilized world in a titanic struggle against terror. Freedom and fear are at war, and freedom is winning. Tonight, over 60,000 American troops are deployed around the world in the war against terror. More than 7,000 in Afghanistan, others in the Philippines, Yemen, and the Republic of Georgia to train local forces. Next week, Afghanistan will begin selecting a representative government, even as American troops, along with our allies, still continuously raid remote al-Qaeda hiding places. Among those we have captured is a man named Abu Zubaydah, al-Qaeda's chief of operations. From him and from hundreds of others, we are learning more about how the terrorists plan and operate, information crucial in anticipating and preventing future attacks. Our coalition is strong. More than 90 nations have arrested or detained over 2,400 terrorists and their supporters. More than 180 countries have offered or are providing assistance in the war on terrorism. And our military is strong and prepared to oppose any emerging threat to the American people. Every day in this war will not bring the drama of liberating a country. Yet every day brings new information. A tip or arrest, another step or two or three, in a relentless march to bring security to our nation and justice to our enemies. Every day I review a document called the Threat Assessment. It summarizes what our intelligence services and key law enforcement agencies have picked up about terrorist activity. Sometimes the information is very general, vague talk, bragging about future attacks. Sometimes the information is more specific, as in a recent case when an al-Qaeda detainee said attacks were planned against financial institutions. When credible intelligence warrants, appropriate law enforcement and local officials are alerted. These warnings are unfortunately a new reality in American life, and we have recently seen an increase in the volume of general threats. Americans should continue to do what you're doing. Go about your lives, but pay attention to your surroundings. Add your eyes and ears to the protection of our homeland. In protecting our country, we depend on the skill of our people, the troops we send to battle, intelligence operatives who risk their lives for bits of information, law enforcement officers who sift for clues and search for suspects. We are now learning that before September the 11th, the suspicions and insights of some of our frontline agents did not get enough attention. My administration supports the important work of the intelligence committees in Congress to review the activities of law enforcement and intelligence agencies. We need to know when warnings were missed or signs unheeded, not to point the finger of blame, but to make sure we correct any problems and prevent them from happening again. Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th. Yet we now know that thousands of trained killers are plotting to attack us, and this terrible knowledge requires us to act differently. If you're a frontline worker for the FBI, the CIA, some other law enforcement or intelligence agency, and you see something that raises suspicions, I want you to report it immediately. I expect your supervisors to treat it with the seriousness it deserves. Information must be fully shared so we can follow every lead to find the one that may prevent tragedy. I applaud the leaders and employees at the FBI and CIA for beginning essential reforms. They must continue to think and act differently to defeat the enemy. The first and best way to secure America's homeland is to attack the enemy where he hides and plans. And we're doing just that. We're also taking significant steps to strengthen our homeland protections, securing cockpits, tightening our borders, stockpiling vaccines, increasing security at water treatment and nuclear power plants. After September the 11th, we needed to move quickly, and so I appointed Tom Ridge as my Homeland Security Advisor. As Governor Ridge has worked with all levels of government to prepare a national strategy, and as we have learned more about the plans and capabilities of the terrorist network, we have concluded that our government must be reorganized to deal more effectively with the new threats of the 21st century. So tonight, I ask the Congress to join me in creating a single permanent department with an overriding and urgent mission, securing the homeland of America and protecting the American people. Right now, as many as 100 different government agencies have some responsibilities for homeland security, and no one has final accountability. For example, the Coast Guard has several missions, from search and rescue to maritime treaty enforcement. It reports to the Transportation Department, whose primary responsibilities are roads, rails, bridges, and the airways. The Customs Service, among other duties, collects tariffs and prevents smuggling, and it is part of the Treasury Department, whose primary responsibility is fiscal policy, not security. Tonight, I propose a permanent cabinet-level Department of Homeland Security to unite essential agencies that must work more closely together, among them the Coast Guard, the Border Patrol, the Customs Service, immigration officials, the Transportation Security Administration, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Employees of this new agency will come to work every morning, knowing their most important job is to protect their fellow citizens. The Department of Homeland Security will be charged with four primary tasks. This new agency will control our borders and prevent terrorists and explosives from entering our country. It will work with state and local authorities to respond quickly and effectively to emergencies. It will bring together our best scientists to develop technologies that detect biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons, and to discover the drugs and treatments to best protect our citizens. And this new department will review intelligence and law enforcement information from all agencies of government and produce a single daily picture of threats against our homeland. Analysts will be responsible for imagining the worst and planning to counter it. The reason to create this department is not to create the size of government, but to increase its focus and effectiveness. The staff of this new department will be largely drawn from the agencies we are combining. By ending duplication and overlap, we will spend less on overhead and more on protecting America. This reorganization will give the good people of our government their best opportunity to succeed by organizing our resources in a way that is thorough and unified. What I'm proposing tonight is the most extensive reorganization of the federal government since the 1940s. During his presidency, Harry Truman recognized that our nation's fragmented defenses had to be reorganized to win the Cold War. He proposed uniting our military forces under a single Department of Defense and creating the National Security Council to bring together defense, intelligence, and diplomacy. Truman's reforms are still helping us to fight terror abroad, and now we need similar dramatic reforms to secure our people at home. Only the United States Congress can create a new Department of Government. So tonight, I ask for your help in encouraging your representatives to support my plan. We face an urgent need, and we must move quickly this year before the end of the congressional session. All in our government have learned a great deal since September the 11th, and we must act on every lesson. We are stronger and better prepared tonight than we were on that terrible morning. And with your help and the support of the Congress, we will be stronger still. History has called our nation into action. History has placed a great challenge before us. Will America, with our unique position and power, blink in the face of terror? Or will we lead to a freer, more civilized world? There is only one answer. This great country will lead the world to safety, security, peace, and freedom. Thank you for listening. Good night, and may God bless America.
You've been listening to live coverage of President Bush's address to the nation from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and with me in the studio is NPR News analyst Daniel Shore. In a few minutes, we're also going to be hearing some other reaction to President Bush's proposal this evening. Dan, the president says that there now should be, he's going to ask Congress to approve his plan, that there should be a single federal agency, cabinet level, headed, that is, by a Secretary of Homeland Security, that would bring together offices that are scattered throughout the federal government now. Why? Why is he doing it now, do you think?
This is the most amazing development. You know, it is very rare in our history that we create new cabinet departments. The last one was creating the Veterans Affairs Department in 1989. And before then, I could give you a list of departments that go back to health, education, and welfare, and all these, transportation by President Johnson and some of the others. To create a new cabinet department must have a rationale. The rationale that the president now proposes is that one must bring together all the disparate parts of the United States government concerned with terrorism. Now, if you take the Treasury, if you take, for example, the Secret Service, which protects the president, used to be used also to find forgeries of currency and all the rest of it, and take all of these and lump them into one department, you are really shaking up the government. And the only question that you ask is the question is why? And I can only answer with perhaps a little bit more cynicism than you were expecting at a time like this. The president needed to change the headlines. The headlines today were an FBI person saying that the FBI wasn't doing its work, that the CIA wasn't doing its work, they weren't sharing their work, and the headlines looked very bad for the administration. Tomorrow, there will be a different headline.
Well, what do you make, what do you make of another series of headlines over the months, which has been the role of Governor Ridge, now Tom Ridge, director of the Office of Homeland Security at the White House, and the desire of the Congress, the Senate, to hear from him, and it being a White House office, therefore this area of administration policy has not been accountable to the Congress in quite the same way that presumably, that any cabinet department is accountable to the Congress.
If you can assume that he will be the new secretary of the new department, he will have to testify before Congress because he will have to be confirmed. And then he will come up before Congress, and then they can say, what are all those things that the president wouldn't let you tell us? We're in for a very interesting time.
There are, it seems, myriad offices in any number of federal agencies. You've mentioned the Secret Service, as also Customs. The President mentioned the Coast Guard. The idea here is they somehow would would be better coordinated, but the model that he offered was the Defense Department being created after the war.
That's right.
Or the Central Intelligence Agency, I guess, being created at the same time. And those are not the most, they're not the happiest communities in the world.
No, but it's very interesting that the president goes back to President Truman for the example that he wants. It is really true that President Truman did, in fact, decide to create civilian control over the armed services by having one Department of Defense instead of a Department of War, Department of Navy, and all of that. It's true that the president said, I need a National Security Council and a central intelligence agency, accent on central, because he wanted to have information centralized. It is true that he did that, and what that was an enormous change in the way our government has run. It's also true that since that time, that this, we have had the FBI and the CIA, one home, one concerned with foreign matters, and not be able to bring together their knowledge, and we're in a different age now. It is true in this age that we have terrorism which does not stop at any border. We don't have foreign terrorism and domestic terrorism. We have terrorism. And so to bring together these disparate elements is important. Whether it needs a cabinet department or not is for others to say.
I want you to take us back a little bit to 47 here, because in that case, President Truman was reorganizing the nation's defense agencies after a great war was over, but as a Cold War was beginning.
And having discovered during the war that, although we did pretty well during that war, having discovered that it would all function better if there were more central control, and the idea of having civilian control of all the armed forces exercised in one Secretary of Defense was a big advance in those days.
Dan, joining us is Ivo Dalder, who is a senior fellow in foreign policy studies at the Brookings Institution here in Washington, former staffer on the National Security Council, and also someone who has been writing recently about precisely this question, Ivo. You've been writing about how the federal government should best organize to deal with these threats to, as we say, homeland security. You've been against the idea of a single cabinet agency.
So far I have, yes. One of the reasons, and the most important reason I have, is precisely for what President Bush said. There are about 100 or so agencies in the U.S. government that have one part or other of the responsibility of protecting this country against terrorist attack. Not all of those 100 agencies can be put in a single department. To the extent we have a single department for homeland security, it's called the U.S. government, and we have its head called the president. And what the president is proposing is to take some of these agencies and putting them in a new department. What I'm worried about is that in doing so, we will lose the ability and the need and the focus to coordinate not only the activities of this department, but also the activities of this department with those of the Department of Defense, with the FBI, the CIA, the Health and Human Services, the Department of the Treasury, and all the other agencies and functions and organizations within the U.S. government that need to be mobilized, that need to be led, that need to be coordinated for homeland security.
And while some of the offices in the Treasury or in Justice, for that matter, might be moving into this new agency, not the FBI, not the CIA. They're certainly the biggest of these agencies will remain outside of it.
Exactly. Key agencies that are on which our defenses against terrorist attack will depend are not going to be part of this new organization. Then also, the organization itself may be a bunch of agencies reorganized under a single heading. Are they going to be coordinated as well? That is the question that the Congress will have to ask.
We'll hear more from Ivo Dalder and from Daniel Schorr, and also from former Director of Central Intelligence James Woolsey, when All Things Considered continues. I'm Robert Siegel, and we're talking about the president's address today, in which he proposed creating a permanent department of homeland security. Ivo Dalder, you were just giving some of the arguments against doing this. You think it would be more or just as difficult to coordinate among all these many, many different agencies. What the president is saying is you have people like the Customs and the Coast Guard who could almost be within sight of one another, presumably doing the same job, and they report to totally different chains of command.
And there is something to be said for consolidation, and there may even be something to be said for the consolidation that the president is supporting. I'm adding cautionary notes. Let's take the question of the Border Patrol and the Coast Guard and the customs agencies. When you and I arrive from an international flight at a U.S. airport, we find four uniforms greeting us: the INS, the Border Patrol, an agricultural inspection agent, a customs service agent. Are we now going to find one uniform with a new badge saying Department of Homeland Security, or are we going to continue to have four different agencies? So here are the real questions. It is one thing to take the boxes on an organizational chart and move them over. It is quite another to start to integrate and coordinate them in a new culture and a new environment. That's going to take time.
What if a benefit of this, though, were that we had four agencies, but they all had computers that interfaced with each other, or they all had radios that worked on the same frequencies?
That would be a major benefit if they work from the same databases, if they work with the same computer equipment. In fact, if they work, they have the same uniforms and do essentially the same task, that would be a very good thing. So in that sense, there is room for consolidation, clearly in the border area, perhaps even as large as the president is proposing. But let's be careful here. The Department of Energy was created in 1977 out of disparate mm-hmm. elements, and 25 years later, we still don't have an energy policy. Let's not confuse reorganization with having a strategy for dealing with homeland security.
Our guest analyst is Ivo Dalder of the Brookings Institution, and we're joined by phone right now by James Woolsey, who was the director of the Central Intelligence Agency from 1993 to 1995. James Woolsey, from what you've heard of the president's proposal for a cabinet-level department for homeland security, a good idea or a bad idea?
I think basically it's a good idea. I think it was important, first of all, to do what the Hart-Rudman Commission suggested and pull all the agencies that protect the borders together and make them operate coherently. And even if he'd only done that, I would have thought that this was definitely a step in the right direction. But he's done several other things as well. He's brought in the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to coordinate with state and local first responders to terrorist incidents and the like. He has this organization, and some of the early press reports suggested that it might be located out of Lawrence Livermore Laboratory in California, but the president apparently didn't say so in the speech, that it would be involved in designing ways to protect us domestically against weapons of mass destruction threats, better biological sensors, that sort of thing. And then finally, of course, I kind of picked up my ears about this analysis operation for intelligence from both FBI, CIA, and presumably other sources. It would be especially useful, I think, if that function were combined with designing ways, or at least orchestrating ways, for us to do a better job of protecting the infrastructure, because out there the oil and gas pipelines and the electricity grid have their counterparts to the flimsy cockpit doors that the FAA ignored for years, and which played such a role on September 11th. We need somebody to pull the threat analysis of what might happen together with the fixes that are needed to our infrastructure.
But I wonder if you could be get real about Washington bureaucracy with me for a moment. Let's say you're still director of Central Intelligence, and you're now told that the office that will tell the president what the threats are facing him is part of a new cabinet-level department, and your guys are feeding into them along with many other agencies that are not in this Department of Homeland Security. The CIA says, good, we'd like to be part of this team and contribute to its output, or you scream bloody murder and say, that's what we do best.
Well, I'm not a good one to ask, because when that little airplane crashed in the south lawn of the White House in 94, the White House staff joke was that must be Woolsey still trying to make an appointment to see the president. I think that it's fine for the CIA to just be a contributor to with respect to its overseas collected terrorist information that's relevant to domestic threats. I think it's fine for it just to be a contributor to Homeland Security Office. Someone needs to pull all this together. I think the bigger problem is not getting the material from the CIA or who briefs the president. The problem is that a lot of this material may come from the FBI, And the FBI is an extremely decentralized organization, and even more so since the previous director set up a lot of overseas offices along with their local offices. And for them to pull everything together in one place is what the new director Mueller is working on so hard. For them to get their intelligence collected and get it to a Homeland Security office, I think is going to be a bigger challenge, actually, than it is for the CIA.
I just wonder how you reconcile these two different developments. One is that over the past couple of weeks, we've heard a tremendous amount about poor cooperation or lack of coordination between the FBI and the CIA and getting some information out of those two, then on to the White House. They're not affected by this. I mean, that's not what's being reorganized here today.
That's right. I think there have been problems in cooperation between the CIA and the FBI in the past, particularly surrounding counterintelligence back before about 1991. Around then, they started working together, and that's the way they caught Ames in 94. But there have been problems, obviously. Some of them have been pointed out in working together on terrorism issues. But many of those have not been so much communication between the Bureau and the agency, or the other way around. They've been internal coordination problems within the FBI. And as far as communication between the Bureau and the agency goes, a lot of that was barred, some of it barred by law, for many years. Until this past fall, for example, it was illegal for the FBI to give to the CIA material they'd obtained pursuant to a grand jury subpoena, even if it related to terrorism and terrorist connections overseas, as in the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center. That got changed this past fall, but a lot of the barriers were there because the Congress wanted them there.
James Woolsey, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Good to be with you.
And Ivo Dalder, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Dan Shore, have you been persuaded at all by what we've heard in the past 10 minutes, that there's something other than trying to move headlines here?
Well, no, I think we need to know a lot more. For example, what the president said, the staff of the new department will be largely drawn from the agencies that we are combining. Does that mean that these agencies will cease to exist? Will we now have a CIA and an FBI, Immigration Naturalization Service, and all of these, Secret Service, or the Treasury, all of that will be stripped away and put into this new department? Do the other departments, the other agencies continue to exist? And if so, do their functions go on? If the Coast Guard is now going to be part of this new department, who does the work of the Coast Guard in rescuing people lost at sea and all the rest of it? See, I am left very much confused by what appears to be a hastily improvised, not very well thought out proposal by the president, which I think Congress will look at very, very closely.
Which would mean very slowly also.
Yes, that for sure.
That's NPR News analyst Daniel Shore. We've been talking about a speech President Bush made just about 25 minutes ago in which he proposed a permanent cabinet-level Department of Homeland Security. And this has been special coverage of that address to the nation from NPR News.